we need to hear that too once in a while as adults, that Jesus loves us for who we are. I'm going to invite you to turn your pew Bible with me this morning. I'm going to take a break for this 1 week from our series on heaven and hell, just because I could not put a sermon short enough together to fit into this morning with everything going on. And so we're going to pick that up next week, all right? And so this morning you're going to hear a sermon just growing like Jesus. And it's going to challenge us in our faith walk. It's going to challenge us as adults and as parents and what our responsibilities are as we raise our children as well. And so we're going to begin in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 52. And let me just set the stage for this just a little bit here this morning. So Jesus is a boy. He's 12. They're gathered in Jerusalem for their annual, I can't remember what feast it is, but they gather there once a year. They come together and they worship in the temple. And Jesus stays behind, and the family, they're heading home. Has anybody ever left a child at church? All right? Yeah? Oh, yeah, there we have one that admitted it. We have two. So my mom did too, by the way. She's here this morning. She left my youngest brother Jason at church one Sunday. We got halfway home when we lived in the country before they believed us. So, but that's happened. So Jesus, he stays back in the temple, and he starts talking with the temple leaders and the priests, and he's doing amazing things, and they can't believe what he's saying. And then here's where we jump in on this right here. So remember, he's 12, all right? And this is the verse I want to start with here today, and then we'll flip over. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, the word stature means physically, that Jesus grew. And so we see that. And then also we see wisdom, and we see in favor with God and man. And then from that point on, we know very little until his earthly ministry, and he's about 30 years old. And so, but we're going to learn about this today. Turn with me to the book of John. Chapter 21. This is after the resurrection. Jesus has appeared two other times. This is the third time he appears now to his disciples. And they're out in the boat fishing, and I'm going to read you the story. It's a little bit longer to read, but I want to lay the groundwork for today. John 21, beginning at verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, how many times did Peter deny Jesus when Jesus was heading to the cross? Three. All right, so this is symbolic here. Jesus reinstates Peter, but he also gives them an order of what to do. So follow along as I read to you what's the order that he must do. "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we read from your book this morning, your words of truth speak to us. Lord, may that word come to life in this message today. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here that are in the building and those that are watching online this morning. May you bless them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, may you teach them, Lord, your ways. And Lord, may these words be your words and not mine. May you fill me with that same Holy Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. I got some pictures I want to share with you this morning, and I hope that you get to enjoy them as much as I do. But let me just talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about growing up like Jesus. So I'm going to share some pictures of you this morning. Do you know who that is? That's me. All right? So I think I'm maybe one or two in that first picture. There's my kindergarten picture there, and from 1976, my first kindergarten picture, and I was heading out to West Lyon. All right? All right, I got a couple more I'm going to share with you this morning. There's my fourth grade picture in the red shirt, and I was convinced my mom did not have an own a scissors, I don't believe. And I still give her static about that today. She liked my long hair and my curls. You see my seventh grade picture on the screen, and I got a couple more for you here yet. There we go. There's my sophomore year in high school there, 10th grade. And then I also put a picture of my engagement in there from 1998. That was just a couple years ago. So, but here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. You look at those pictures when I was growing up. Over time, I grew in stature, physically, right? I'm not as small as I was when I was 1 or 2 years old. I grew educationally, and I grew spiritually in my faith walk. And I'm going to share with you this morning some of those key people that were in my life that brought me here to this ministry today. And so as I grew, God put my parents, Sunday school teachers, cadet leaders, youth leaders, and other adults in my life that were so key and so pivotal. And I remember certain things in my life that were what I like to say is markers, things that stood out to me that made a difference in the way that I lived my life and the choices that I made. And let me just share a few of those with you this morning, and you can relate to me as well. I want you to think about your own life as I share my life with you today. My parents, they made sure that I was in church every Sunday and in Sunday school every Sunday. And we grew up in the Christian Reformed Church, and you did what on Sunday? You went to church twice, right? That's how I grew up, morning and night, and made sure that I was in Sunday school. So I had parents that were crucial in my role of becoming a Christian and believer in Jesus Christ. I had a fifth grade teacher. Now, most of you are not going to believe this, but once in a while, I did get in trouble. All right? I had a teacher in fifth grade. His name was Arlen Disselcone in Greeley, Colorado, at the Fellowship Christian Reformed Church where we attended as a family. Now, Arlen, he was a businessman, and he wore a suit every Sunday, and I respected him greatly, but I hated to memorize my memory verse. In his class, in order for you to leave, you had to know the Lord's Prayer. And guess what? I didn't memorize it. And so I get to class, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get out of this. And guess what he did? So everybody went around the room. They had it memorized except for me. And then we went through our Bible lesson for the day, and then he's releasing us out of class, and he said, Rob Horseman, would you please stay? I thought, oh, no. And this is what he told me. He goes, you can't go home until you know the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to stay here till you know it. That's the fastest I've ever memorized anything in my life. The Lord's Prayer. And I know that by heart today. But I'm so thankful for Arlen Disselcone because he said, you know what? You're not going to get off this easy. You're going to know the Lord's Prayer because, and he didn't know what my life would unfold, but he wanted me to know that. Let me share another lady with you. Her name was Lois Hoogeveen. And she's the pastor's wife, by the way. She led the children singing, the children's music, and I remember being in, fourth or fifth grade, and I'm not a good singer, but I love to sing today, but when you're in fourth grade, I didn't want to sing, and I remember I was messing around in choir, and I got picked up by the ear and drug out into the hallway by Mrs. Hoogeveen, and I got a little lesson on how I should be acting in children singing by her. That was part of my growing up years. Those were markers that, you know what, I can't mess around. I'm supposed to pay attention. I'm supposed to sing and so on. And then I had a cadet leader by the name of Dick Spittler. Dick grew up in Rock Rapids, Iowa, moved out to Greeley, Colorado. And I knew him so well, his favorite prop was Coca-Cola. Loved to drink it. And we used to shoot half-court shots for a can of pop. Who had to buy? And needless to say, he was a great spiritual man. We went camping with him together as a cadet group, and he was the head counselor, and just I grew and learned in so many ways from that cadet counselor in my life. And that was from about fourth grade all up to eighth grade, even into high school a little bit. And Dick's a great guy. Ruth Caswell. Some of you are related to Ruth. I believe Marv and Bev Arp are. And Ruth Caswell was my high school teacher at the First Reformed Church in Rock Rapids, Iowa. When we moved back from Colorado, we lived over towards Elvord, and we attended church over there. Ruth Caswell, she spoke greatly into my life about the love of God. We sang Jesus Loves Me. I understood the love of God through that lady in my Sunday school class in a very deep way, what that looked like. And so I stayed connected to Ruth for many years, and if I'd run into her from time to time, we'd still talk, and we'd still ask, how is life going? And you know, and she passed away not too long ago. And then I want to talk to you about one of my seminary professors, Ted Fazer. Now, Janice Verhoeven's here this morning. She was a co-worker with Ted. Ted retired. One of my seminary professors up at Sioux Falls Seminary. Ted inspired, Ted encouraged me more than he will ever know in his classes of to be a good preacher and take care of your flock. And I remember him saying to me, if you want to know your sheep, you need to smell like your sheep. And I've never forgotten that. It means you need to live with your people. You need to share life with your people. Through the hard things and through the joyous things, he said, get to know your people. And I always have taken that with me here. And that even makes me a little bit emotional, the impression that he made on my life. And I know Ted, he still stays in contact with Janice quite a bit yet. And Ted, amazing what he did in my life. And here's what I want to share with you this morning. If you're a Sunday school teacher out there today, if you're an impact leader, if you're a helper, if you're a substitute, besides Ted, all these people that influenced my life, they had no idea that they were teaching a pastor one day. Somebody that would lead God's people. They had no clue. But God did. Thankfully, he knew. But what I want to say to you this morning is that as a Sunday school teacher, as an impact leader, or whatever it is in the DOK, whatever it is in your part of this, you are making a difference in God's kingdom today. And you might not think you are, and you might not realize it, because I'm sure Lois Hogeveen probably thought in that day, this kid ain't going to amount to nothing, right? But what God can do is amazing with people's lives. And you're just part of that. As a teacher, as a youth group leader, whatever that is that you're a part of, all right? So let's jump into Scripture here this morning. That's enough of looking at myself up there. Luke 2, verse 52, the verse that I read you this morning. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, there's very little information in the Bible about the childhood and teenagers of Jesus. We have a few things, and I'm going to share them with you this morning. We know that some of what happened during his first 8 days of life is recorded in Scripture. You can read that in the book of Luke. We also know that he fled to Egypt when King Herod tried to kill him. We know that. We know that he grew up where? Nazareth, right? Remember the Bible stories, right? He grew up, he was a Nazarene, he grew up in Nazareth. We knew who his parents were. We knew who the priest was and his wife at the time that were so crucial to the Word of God and speaking to him in his young life. They invested in Jesus' life at that early age. We see that. We see that. And so I just want to encourage you, teachers, this morning. You are teaching the next missionary. You're teaching the next pastor. You're teaching the next doctor, the next mom or dad, the next plumber, the next farmer, whoever it might be that will be willing to share the Word of God, that will speak truth to people today, wherever they find themselves out in life. And you have such a big part in their life. What you do matters this morning. So now jump with me to John 21. The story of Jesus, he comes to the shore and they're out fishing in the boat. How many of you attend continuing education classes in your life? right? Yeah, you're responsible for continuing to learn, maybe updates and stuff like that. And I remember being in agriculture, and you had to get your chemical license and your applicator's license, and you had to renew that and do continuing education every couple of years or so. And if you're in the health field, you got that, and many other places. Well, here is a lesson in the disciples of Jesus of continuing education in their lives. Now, they've been walking with Jesus for a little over 3 years. They watched him do miracles. They watched him perform healings. They watched him do exorcists, casting out demons. All kinds of things are going on. You'd think they'd have it all down by now, right? No. Jesus says, I need a little more time with you yet. A little more time with you this morning. And so here's the lesson I want you to think about this morning, and that is that there is always room to learn more in your life. Always about who Jesus is. Right? They learn a little bit more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That morning on the Sea of Galilee, the events of the day become a living parable to the disciples' mission as fishers of people. They're out in the boat. They can't catch anything. It's a bad day of fishing, right? It's better than a good day of work, always, correct? But this is their work, and they can't catch anything. And then Jesus says to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat. Right? Do something different. Try something new. Is what he says, right? And then he teaches them that, you know what? I don't want you to fish for fish anymore. I want you to fish for people. I want you to tell them who I am. I want you to tell them what I have done. I want you to tell them that their sins are forgiven and they can have eternal life with me in heaven, is what he told them. You know what? That's our mission yet today, isn't it? We are fishers of people today. That mission is before us. So parents, I encourage you to remain steadfast in getting your children involved in the ministries of this church. There are several that you can plug your kids into, and you can teach them the ways of Jesus Christ. Make sure they're in Sunday school. Get them to Cadets, our Daughters of the King, our Shine, our Impact. And you know, mothers and fathers, this is our obligation. Church, we did a baptism this morning in there, and you stood up and you made a confession and a call to take care of Aria, and you will teach her to pray and the ways of Christ. And family, you're a part of that too, right? That's our job, to teach the children God's way. Parent, take that on. Take it seriously in your life. I encourage you to do that. All of us are fishers of people in the name of Jesus. As Jesus feeds us, we are to offer the people the bread of life that Jesus offered his disciples, right? John 21, verse 15, when they had finished eating, and Jesus shares a few words with them, and then he says this, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you believe me, or do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And he said it three times to him, and we know that it reinstated him, and it goes back to him denying him when he's going to the cross, but yet he gives him a command, feed my lambs. And this is essentially what he's saying to you and I this morning, and what Peter did in life. He said, Jesus said to Peter, this is what you're going to do. You're going to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my church in the world that you and I live in. Now, is the church just the people that are in this building today? No, they are not. They are throughout the world. They're our neighbors. They're our brothers, our sisters, our parents. Who knows who they are? But they're those who are believers in Jesus Christ. And he says to Peter, go feed my people. Tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to be in heaven one day with me. Don't hold back. Don't quit. You might grow tired and weary, but you fight on. Feed my sheep, is what he says. And as a church, we have that same command. Feed my sheep. Jesus says, fill the nets. Or might we say, fill the pews. Fill the classrooms. Where to teach and where to educate God's people. Now notice his disciples, how long had they been walking with Jesus? 3 years, right? Three? 3 years they've been training with him and living life with him. I mean, everything. How many of you in here are married? Raise your hand. All right, okay. And here's what I want you to think about. How well do you know your spouse? Some of you have been living with her for maybe a year or two, just married. Some of you have been living with her for maybe 40, 50 years, maybe more, right? How well do you know her? Well, right? How well does she know you? Probably even better than you know yourself, right? Those disciples knew Jesus, and Jesus knew them that well. They lived life together for 3 years, but yet Jesus said this, "You still have so much to learn yet. Keep following me. Keep learning my ways, especially to the world that you and I live in today." And here's something I want to challenge you as adults this morning. This is not to shame you, but we've got this stigma in our society that when you graduate from high school, you are done with what? School. You're done learning, right? How many of you are done learning when you graduated high school? Some of you maybe went to the workforce, but you still had to learn at your work, right? Some of you maybe went to the farm and you farmed under dad for a while and dad taught you, you know, this is how we farm. And some of you gone on to college and you figure out what kind of career you want to have and you get a job and you realize you got more learning to do and those types of things. Why is it that you and I think that when we graduate from school that we're all of a sudden as adults that we don't need to go to Sunday school anymore? I know enough about Jesus now that, you know, I don't need to continue on that. And here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. If you're not connected to a Bible study, if you're not coming to church, if you're not at home in your Bible and you're doing prayer, I truly believe that you're going backwards in your faith journey. You are not growing in your faith journey if that's where you find yourself today. And I'm afraid to say this, and you know what kind of pastor I am, that I think there's quite a few of you that might be in that place. So I'm calling you out this morning. Because Jesus still teaching his disciples one last time yet. You still don't have it all. I'm going to spend a little more time with you. Have some breakfast with me. Let's sit down and have one more conversation. And don't you just like how loving and kind he is? He cooks them breakfast, right? He gets the fire going. He calls them in. He tells them what to do to catch the fish that they need to make a living. He blesses them right there greatly, right? And then I love the ending when you read further on, and he ends it. If you look at different translations, the last one says, "Feed my lambs." And then he says this to them, "Follow me." That's what he says, "Follow me." Real simple command. There are a lot of people that are spiritually hungry today. There's your invitation to your walk. And here's what I want to challenge you with as well. Notice in the gray box, there's a verse I have up there for you. He says, this is Jesus speaking, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat." Now I alluded to this just a little bit earlier in my message this morning. In your spiritual life, if something's not working for you, I want you to change something. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples in the boat. What you're doing isn't working for you. He says, throw it on the right side. I love how Jesus works because notice he says, the right side. Well, what is the right side, right? Is it my right side, or is it just the right side? Right? That's for you and I to figure out, by the way, in life. What does my spiritual walk look like? Am I in the Word of God the way I'm supposed to be? Whatever Jesus says to you, and he says, just get on the right side. Do something different in your life. Step out of the box a little bit. Don't be afraid to try something new in your faith walk. How many of you here, there's a few of you here that maybe this is the first time or maybe you haven't taught in a while and now you're going back into a classroom. And by the way, you need to know that those classrooms down there, some of those classrooms, you know, you get to school and they maybe have 18 or 22 kids in them. This morning, some of these teachers are going to be teaching down there with 25 to 30 kids in a room. That's quite something, isn't it? And so if you're out there this morning, you're that new teacher, I just want you to know, some of you are laughing, thinking, oh, what did I get myself into, right? But I know God's already there. He's already there. He's already working in those little kids' lives. He's opened their hearts. He's opened their ears to what you're going to say to them this morning. That's huge. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking you need to recharge your spiritual life a little bit, I want you to throw your net on the right side. Try something new. Because when God speaks into your life and you respond, you will be greatly blessed. I guarantee you will be. Let me finish up with this morning. The task before us is amazing, but it's not impossible. Especially with Jesus standing on the shoreline, calling out directions to you and I, right? Do this, do that, don't say that, do say that, go see them. That type of things, you know what I'm talking about in life? As you follow Jesus and you follow Christ in your life, cast your net on the right side, he's saying to you and I. So there's so much more that we can still learn from Jesus. Just as Peter and the other disciples learned from Jesus, there that day in the Sea of Galilee. And here's what you must do. All you have to do is respond. And then do. Right? Respond. And then do is what Christ asks us in our life. Because if we can do that, I know that we will grow with Christ. We can grow in wisdom and we can grow in stature and in favor with God and men. That's what it's about. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the people that you're going to put forth today into the ministries of this church and this congregation, those who would teach our children your ways. Lord, may you bless our educational ministries today. Lord, may you also bless the parents of the children that are here as well. Lord, may you inspire them. May you instill in them your ways. Lord, I pray just a special blessing upon our families today. May you walk with them and be with them. In Jesus, I pray, amen. I'm going to invite you.